This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we will visit with the Insurance Commissioner, Jim Donilon. June 1st, as in Sunday, starts hurricane season for 2014. It's expected to be a lighter season than usual, which may be good news, but as we know, it only takes one big one to change the course of history. We'll talk with Jim Donilon. Also on the show, Gus Weil, the fabled Louisiana political consultant. We will talk with him about the legislative session as it rounds the turn and heads to the final post come Monday at 6 o'clock. And, of course, this week was marred by the loss of the great John McGinnis, Louisiana political columnist and commentator, often a guest on this show, who passed away Sunday at the age of 66. Now the news on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. Outside the area, it's 877-217-5757. You may reach me by email, inkstershow@wrkf.org. Frank Barnett is producing, and our guest is one of our favorite ones, the Insurance Commissioner, Jim Donilon, who will have a busy few months as this is the start of hurricane season beginning Sunday. But Jim Donilon is one of LSU's biggest boosters. I know where you'll be later today.
Indeed. I'm looking forward to it and just hoping the clouds will stay away long enough to get that. Has Maneri announced who's going to start today yet?
I don't know. I would think it would be Noah, but you know, in these tournaments, they quite often save the best for later games, so it may not be.
Yeah.
But
I hope it's Nola for the reason that tomorrow's likely opponent, Houston, starts seven left-handed hitters and does a lot of base running. And we need Poche as a lefty to hold them in check.
No,
my legal opinion.
You
Jim.
Sound like Walt Alston back in the 60s when he was deciding whether to go with Koufax or Drysdale.
Yes, indeed. And, I remember it well.
And Jim Donilon's a big Dodgers fan as well.
Yes.
And LSU has the capacity to do very well and probably will, but let's not forget the UL Ragin' Cajuns. They've
Indeed.
Had quite a season, and they start their regional in Lafayette later today as well.
It'll be interesting.
It will. And Jim is also a high school, or was a high school classmate of the great Rusty Staub, who
Yes.
played in the majors as a teenager. In fact, he's one of only one or two players to homer in the majors as a teenager Yes. and as a 40-year-old.
Is that right?
Yeah,
I did not know that. Did. My wife had me clean out a closet the other day, and she pulled out and kept it what you might call a love postcard that mm-hmm. I wrote to her from Houston, a beautiful picture of the Astrodome, which was pretty new
yeah.
back then, when my former law partner and now retired Court of Appeals Judge Jim Canella, who went to grammar school and high school with Rusty, and I went over and watched them play the Dodgers one weekend in the Astrodome and had dinner with Rusty both nights.
Well, he is synonymous with Jesuit High School, and we could talk about that time and place for several hours, and at some point we might, but you had some luminaries in Rusty and many others, including Pat Screen, who
Yes, indeed.
Were part of the Jesuit family at that time. That place, Benny Baggert, I can go on.
Yep.
Uh-huh. But Sunday, June 1, start of hurricane season, and according to the prognosticators, this is going to be a lighter year than usual. They've been wrong before, but it only takes one big one to change things a whole lot. So what should we do to prepare?
I had that brought home to me in spades last evening, Jim. I went to Braithwaite, Louisiana, that got wiped out by minimum Hurricane Isaac two seasons ago. And those poor folks, driving through there was like deja vu. It was just like driving through Lakeview after mm-hmm. Katrina. Everything gutted, everything empty, everything in some state of repair. And those folks were awakened in the middle of the night by rising water, rapidly rising water, that ultimately got to 10 or 12 feet deep in their homes. I talked to a lady last night who was taken by a child. They tried to get their cars to the levee, which is only a quarter mile from our house, the Mississippi River levee, and all but only one car did not stall out. They got up on the levee with horses and cattle and goats and pigs and snakes and people and sat there in 80-mile-an-hour wind waiting to be rescued the next morning. That was at 3 in the morning. All that to say, the fact that Dr. Gray at Colorado State and others are saying we're likely to only have 9 named storms this year, 3 of them become hurricanes, 1 a major hurricane, is really no comfort because it only takes one, and it even can be a minimum, quote-unquote, hurricane that can do devastating damage. And so I am in the midst of my annual storm tour to sound the alarm, the warning, whatever you want to call it. We know how to do this now. Contraflow worked very well to get a million folks out of harm's way in Katrina, but 1,600 lost their lives by staying behind and ignoring those warnings that our local and state officials give us when they urge us to evacuate.
Well, back in the day, 1965, I was 7 years old, and I remember Hurricane Betsy coming through New Orleans, and Victor Skiro, the mayor of the city, at about 8 o'clock, he said, evacuate if you can. But now we have better means of preparing for these things. But on the other hand, we have a lot fewer miles of protection. So it's good not only to be prepared from an insurance standpoint, which we will talk about, but now if there is danger, it's a good idea to get out of the way before 8 o'clock on the night of the storm.
No question. And you know, the Contraflow did work very well for Katrina. But I thought about it the other night, and one of the advantages the year before when Ivan was headed our way and at the last minute, thankfully, did a right turn and ended up crushing the panhandle of Florida, Gulf Shores, Pensacola area. But that was the first time we implemented Contraflow, and it gridlocked here in Baton Rouge and all across the Atchafalaya, which is why a lot of folks stayed home a year later when Katrina was headed our way. They said, I'm not going to subject myself to that again. And they tweaked it, and it worked as designed. Mm-hmm. And a million folks, as I said before, I left my home in Metairie at midnight on Saturday night and drove on the wrong side of the interstate at 65 miles an hour all the way to here in Baton Rouge, crossed over and went on to my daughter's house in Alexandria. My point being, Barry went and got my mother and the dog, and we were easily able to get out of harm's way. But it was a weekend, and I'm curious as to whether or not the fact that there were no school children being transported, mm-hmm. no workers to and from work during the week, as was the case when Ivan gridlocked in Baton Rouge, if that was a difference. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope I'm not wrong. I hope my fears are not real, and that when it happens the next time, as it certainly will, that Contraflow will work as it did for Katrina.
297-5633. If you have a question about insurance, or this is a pertinent time to talk about insurance to cover hurricanes, and some people believe, Jim, that they have homeowners insurance, that they don't have anything to worry about. Homeowners insurance is great, but how far does it go?
First and foremost, since that 1965 hurricane you mentioned earlier, Betsy, virtually all property insurance policies, homeowners as well as renters, commercial property, whatever, exclude flood. So know that you must. Anyone who owns property in Louisiana should access the very subsidized National Flood Insurance Program. We are the most benefited state in America by it. It covers not just storm surge from hurricanes, but rains like came with Gustav in 2008. 10 inches, 12 inches of rain 2 days in a row in central and northeast Louisiana, causing flooding in hundreds of homes, even that far up into our state. 2 years ago, we had at the Atchafalaya and the Mississippi up to the top of their levees. threatening to overtop and flood Baton Rouge and the areas along those rivers. So know that your property insurance does not cover flood. Virtually all do not cover flood. Also know that since Katrina, almost all property insurance policies come with a named storm deductible. It was the exception rather than the rule, although my traveler's policy at the time for my Katrina claim had a 2% named storm deductible. Our Citizens residual market at the time had a 2% named storm deductible. But many companies, Travelers has raised theirs to 3%, Allstate and now State Farm has raised theirs to 5%. That's not 5% of your loss. That's 5% of your insured value, so that if your home is insured for $200,000, it's a $10,000 deductible for damage caused by a named storm like a hurricane. Your roof gets damaged, you're out of pocket for the first $10,000. That's okay. When my wife was handling our claim and she called and said, do you know we have a 2% named storm deductible? I said, frankly, I don't remember, but our neighbor and my friend down the block sold me the policy, and it fits with what I tell everyone. Self-insure for as much as you can afford to take on yourself. We can afford what was at the time a $4,500 deductible, and we paid it. So all of that to say, know what your coverage is, but also know what it's not, and be prepared to meet that deductible to put your property back together.
Well, you have stated time and again the importance of flood insurance. And most people, I would think, probably don't have flood insurance unless they live in a flood zone and are required to have it. But you say it's a good investment even if you're not in a flood zone.
No question. I point to back to what I said about the Atchafalaya and the Mississippi, and what I with spring flooding of the rivers, with what happened with Gustav in Alexandria and Monroe, what happened in Nashville with the Grand Ole Opry a couple years ago in downtown Nashville, flooding out, and being glad they were required to have flood insurance, even though not in a high-risk area. 25% of the claims that the National Flood Insurance Program pays out is for damage to property that were in low risk, in other words, not considered to be at risk for flood damage. So anyone in Louisiana from Shreveport to Grand Isle that owns property should take advantage of that program. It's still substantially subsidized. We in Louisiana benefit from it more than any other state in the union.
297-5633 for Jim Donnellan, who grew up in the New Orleans area, went to college at UNO right on the banks of Lake Pontchartrain, and there were some killer storms in the 1960s, Betsy and Camille most notable, but you never know when one of these is going to happen, and Katrina and Rita hit the same year in 2005, and we had to deal with Gustav in 2008, which was a whopper here in Baton Rouge. And it shows that Baton Rouge, the area where most of our listeners are congregated, is now more vulnerable than it once was.
We've lost so much of our marshland, and those were kind of speed bumps, if you will, for approaching storms. We saw a minimum storm a year and a half ago, Isaac, come through and do devastating damage in Braithwaite, where I was last evening in Plaquemine Parish, but then again in Laplace, north of New Orleans, a third of the way here to Baton Rouge from New Orleans. So indeed, it really has to be taken very seriously, and preparations made, first to evacuate, but second to restore your protect your property by having the resources available to put them back together. It is affordable. There is coverage available, more than there was before Katrina. It's more expensive than it was before Katrina, but there is competition in the marketplace, in particular here in Baton Rouge, that if folks want to save money by shopping, that's an option that's available to them.
297-5633 or 877-217-5757, inkstershow@wrkf.org if you'd like to reach us online. Insurance Commissioner Jim Donnellan is the guest. He was a longtime state lawmaker prior to his tenure in the insurance department. We'll talk with him about what's going on in Louisiana and the start of hurricane season when we return in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Jim Donilon's the guest, and he's here to talk insurance and baseball and whatever. 297-5633. Jared Poche, by the way, will be the start for LSU against Southeastern today, 2 o'clock in the opener at Alex Box, weather permitting. And so Paul Maneri's going against the advice of Jim Donilon. And remember Walt Alston? He started Don Drysdale to open the 1965 series against the Minnesota Twins right after Hurricane Betsy had swept through Louisiana. How's that for a
That's great. I'll give you one better. I was at Jim Cannella's house, now retired Judge Jim Cannella, watching the seventh game of that series in Minnesota. A duel between Mudcat Grant.
Jim Mudcat Grant.
A great
who went
pitcher,
21-7 in 1965.
And Koufax couldn't get his fastball over the plate and pitched the whole game and won it with nothing but curveballs. Did he win it?
He won it.
Yes,
yeah,
he did win
2 days rest, too.
Yes.
He would not pitch on Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur. I used to get ballistic over his unwillingness during the World Series every October to not pitch on that day, that religious holiday.
Well, Drysdale, that's why he started the opener. And he got roughed up. And as Walt Alston was taking him out in the third inning and he handed the ball to the skipper, he said, "Skip, I bet you wish I were Jewish too." Jack in Santama, you're on the air with Jim Donilon. Hi, Jack.
Hey, good morning.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was wondering, is there any insurance companies in our area that offer a la carte type coverage where a person could buy property insurance that covers, say, only fire and liability, maybe?
Great question. And the answer is...
And would it be, also, would you see a reduction in your rates if a company did offer that?
Absolutely. It's called, and it's been around forever, and thank you for that question. It's really a good one. It's called fire and extended coverage policies. And you can get them that will cover fire, that's why they're so called, and a list of whatever other coverages you might want to add to that, such as liability, and such as liability for a dangerous animal, a so-called or characterized German Shepherd, pit bull, or whatever that a company, some other company, might not choose to insure you for. You can also determine how much coverage you want in this regard. You can have replacement cost coverage, which most folks have on their homeowner's policy, or you can have depreciated value coverage, which means instead of your roof being replaced at a cost of $10,000 by your insurer, it will give you the depreciated value of your old 20-year-old roof that might only have another year or two of life expectancy on it. All of those limitations come at substantial reduced rates for property owners concerned about the cost. And with a lot of folks on fixed incomes, as the cost of insurance and everything else continues to go up, these are more and more options they're considering. They sometimes have limitations placed on the flexibility or the ability to do that because of their lender. But for the most part, lenders will tolerate fire and extended coverage policies. But that would be on a case-by-case basis with your lender. But if you own your property outright, you certainly can save substantial amounts by accessing such reduced coverage.
Chris on Florida Boulevard, you're on the air with Commissioner Donilon. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. I had a question. I've got a situation that the usual homeowner's nightmare. Had the hailstorm about a month and a half ago, and the settlement came through, and they're going to pay for a replacement of the roof. But then a week or two after the check comes in, get a cancellation notice saying that while our claims have exceeded premiums, we've had the policy for almost 15 years, and this is the first, you know, big claim that we've had. So, yeah, over the last 3 years, it exceeds a certain percentage. But over 14 years, they've made a pretty good steady income.
I hear you. And that's an interesting concern that you expressed there, because if you've been with a homeowner's company for three or more years, they cannot non-renew you unless you have two or more non-act of God claims in a three-year period. And a hailstorm is an act of God. So if that's the basis on which they're non-renewing you, if you had two other, even small claims in a three-year period, they still can do it. But this hailstorm does not qualify as a basis for doing it. It may be the reason they decided to do it, and you had two other claims over. And actually, there's a bill in the legislature. State Farm has gone to looking back 5 years for two claims in a 36-month period of time. And they were the first company to stretch it back beyond the last exact 36 months. And we were challenging that, and the compromise we entered into with them during this legislative session limits that look back to 5 years, but the two claims still have to be within a 36 consecutive month period of time. But if you need help with that, if you think you're being unfairly non-renewed, call us at 800-259-5300.
800-259-5300 for the insurance department and Jim Donnellan. Jim might even answer the phone.
I might.
297-5600.
I will return the call if asked for.
I know you will. Your number for us, wherever you are, is 877-217-5757. Sanders on Donmore asks, what is a single season hurricane deductible?
Good question. Back in 2005, 3 weeks after Katrina came through Louisiana, headed our way on the same path was Rita. And at the last minute, it made a left turn and crushed our friends in southwest Louisiana, making landfall in Cameron Parish. We went to 2008 before we had another serious storm. That was Gustav, made landfall south of Houma, did most of its damage here in the Baton Rouge area, and then flooded with the associated rainfall homes, hundreds of them, in central and north Louisiana. A couple weeks after Gustav came ashore, headed our way in the same path was Ike. And like Rita, at the last minute, thankfully, it made a left turn, skirted along our coast, did a lot of flood damage as it did, but made landfall in Galveston and ultimately set the record in Ohio for an insured loss event in the state of Ohio, if you can believe. But when that second storm headed our way, with the prevalence of named storm deductibles and so many folks in the Baton Rouge area learning for the first time that they had a 5% named storm deductible, our phones started ringing. And we went to the legislature and copied what Florida had done after their four events in 2004, three of which crossed the city of Orlando in central Florida in one hurricane season, and limited by law hurricane deductibles, named storm deductibles, to one per hurricane season. So if we have more than one hurricane, you're only going to meet that named storm deductible one time.
Okay, 297-5633 is your number. Inkster Show at WRKF.org. David Brown writes about ContraFlow. He says it does nothing to help those without access to vehicles. So if you don't have a car or some other means of transportation to get the heck out of Dodge, what do you do?
That's a good question as well. And the answer is that is determined on a parish-by-parish basis. In the city of New Orleans, I know they have set up signs, bus stop signs or accumulation signs, if gathering points, with unique signage for places to go around the city where they will send buses out to pick you up, to bring you to shelters or to evacuation facilities. Other parishes will have different, and some will do better, some will do worse, means in place for folks who are either infirmed and need assistance or have no transportation whatsoever.
Fred and Brewley. Good morning, Fred. You're on with Jim Donilon.
Good morning, Mr. Donilon. I have a question for you. I had tried to insure with a different company because State Farm went up to a 5% deductible. And they told me that my house didn't fit their computer program, so they wouldn't write it. Is there such a thing as a home can't fit their computer program?
Yes, there is. It's an underwriting program that each company devises of their own demands, requirements that you would have to meet in order to access a policy. For companies that are writing, that are open to writing, mm-hmm. like Liberty Mutual, like ASI Lloyd's or Gulfstream, looking for business in our state, that's usually not a problem. It can be a problem, for example, if you have aluminum wiring in your home versus copper wiring or other structural issues that that their particular guidelines do not allow, do not make them, do not meet their desire to cover. So you do need to access through probably a professional, an agent, who can help you move from one company to another to get prices as well as coverage options.
297-5633, still time to talk with Jim Donilon, Insurance Commissioner. Is Mr. Donilon, writes Paul Taylor, ask Paul Taylor, able to work with Mary Landrieu and David Vitter to reduce the effects of the Biggert Waters Act?
Positively, and I did work with both of them through a group called GNO Inc., which is a chamber-sponsored group in the metropolitan New Orleans area that pulled together an amazing coalition of parish presidents, councilmen, congresspeople, Democrats, Republicans, not just in Louisiana, but from the Northeast down through Florida and around the Gulf of Mexico to get relief, and other places around the country. I brought a letter from them to a meeting I had last year with President Obama when I was the National Association for Insurance Commissioners president, and he asked for a meeting with our leadership to talk about his favorite subject, the Affordable Care Act. And while there, I literally said, now that we've discussed the issues you brought us here to discuss, Mr. President, can I take my NAIC hat off and put my Louisiana commissioner hat back on and hand you this letter from GNO Inc. that urges your help for us in getting relief from the draconian effects of the Biggert Waters Act, which was an attempt to extend the program for 5 more years, which it did, and to reform the program to make it actuarially self-sufficient within that 5-year period of time. But in the way it was doing it, it would have rendered thousands of properties in our state worthless overnight. Thankfully, that coalition came together across party lines and got relief in the form of what's called the Affordability, Flood Insurance Affordability Act. And now that effort to put it on an actuarially sound basis has been altered. And, for example, one thing that it did to pay for that is it put a $250 per year assessment on every commercial flood insurance policy and a $25 per year fee on every residential flood insurance policy. Mm-hmm. Did other things like eliminating second homes and repetitive loss properties, but it gave us the relief we needed in order to continue to use the National Flood Insurance Program to reduce our risk, but at the same time at an affordable price.
You met with the President of the United States. Was it at the White House?
It was in the Oval Office.
In the Oval Office. That
yes,
must
sir.
Have been
that was
a heady thing.
That was it was really heady, Jim, when he came into the room and I had my colleagues from North Carolina and from Connecticut with me and our new CEO, former Senator Ben Nelson. And he sat down and we sat down and he did his opening remarks of 4 or 5 minutes and then turned it over to President Donilon. And I said, wow, I've never been addressed as President Donilon by the President of the United States before. But But it was a 45-minute long meeting of just a few of us to talk about his subject of choice, which was his issues with the Affordable mm-hmm. Care Act, and our subject of choice, which is the regulation of insurance in the international insurance marketplace, which is a significant issue that we really should do another show another time because it affects policyholders right here in Louisiana.
Well, let's do
in
that.
A very big way.
But you're of a different political persuasion than the president. Was he a personable guy?
He truly was. He was very, very respectful and professional and courteous was very bipartisan in his approach to our discussion, no question.
Okay. 297-5633, a few more minutes with Jim Donilon, and it is Shazia, I believe, asks, can filing an insurance claim affect your rates?
Not in the homeowner's market. It can affect your company's decision to continue writing coverage for you, but they can't raise your rates individually based on your claims experience.
Really?
Now, on the auto side, different story. Mm. If you have repeated auto accidents mm. or even speeding tickets or DWIs, then they can raise your rates based upon your driving experience.
So when President Clinton used his homeowner's policy to settle his lawsuit with Paula Jones, the $850,000 payment to Ms. Jones did not affect Bill Clinton's homeowner's policy.
No, everyone else in Arkansas might have been affected, but not just him.
Okay. Well, Jim Donilon knew John McGinnis pretty well, and this week has been marred by his passing suddenly at the age of 66, during a time of the year that John knew and loved, the close of the legislative session. There was no one quite like him.
Indeed. He was a class act, a true professional, and journalism took a big hit in Louisiana with his passing. I had him last week as our luncheon speaker at our annual healthcare conference out at the Crown Plaza with 600 registrants. In fact, a capacity crowd. We had to turn folks away. And that was either the second or third time that he has done our luncheon speech for that annual meeting. And he did it with the same good humor and acumen that he always brought to his whatever, his writings, mm-hmm. his speeches, etc. He was just a great human being.
He was a class act, a true gentleman, and usually when people express their opinions, there's a price to be paid. He can't please everybody, but I don't know of anybody who ever said an unkind word about John McGinnis. He was a guy who could state his case without inflaming the masses, and that is a rare talent, and he was a rare man. And in the next segment, we'll talk a bit with Gus Weil about the passing of John McGinnis, and we'll be back to wrap it up with Insurance Commissioner Jim Donilon after this 90-second pause. If you'd like to reach us, 877-217-5757 or 297-5633. We'll return after this brief pause on 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Gus Weil is on deck, the fabled Louisiana political consultant who's been around in politics even longer than yours truly, or Jim Donilon.
That's for sure.
But Jim Donilon has served in the legislature for more than 20 years and also has been insurance commissioner now for
8 years.
8 years. Time flies when you're having fun. And planning on running again?
I am, next year. A little bit of a correction. It was just under 20 years.
Just under
in the legislature, yeah.
82 to 01, something?
Yes, sir.
Okay, there you go. So that's 19 years, according to the math I learned at Louisiana State University at Lockett Hall. But any final thoughts about preparation for hurricane season? You can't just suddenly take out a policy, by the way, when a storm
Good
is on
point.
Your front doorstep.
Absolutely. The flood insurance program has a 30-day wait period. That became an issue with the threatened flood in the Atchafalaya 2 years ago and is always applicable when trying to access coverage. The property insurance, the wind insurance, if you will, homeowners policies, typically have a shutdown when a hurricane enters the Gulf. They stop writing coverage. So 30 days is a good rule of thumb that you need to be mindful of when you're considering getting coverage going into hurricane season. Know what your coverage is. Get with your agent. Go over. Use this as an opportunity to review all of your coverages, not just your homeowners and property insurance, but your long-term care, your health insurance, life insurance needs, all of the above. It's a good time to do that checkup. Access the National Flood Insurance Policy that's available in our state, subsidized by the federal government. And finally, make an inventory of your property as if you had already had a fire or tree come through your roof and damage your property. Take pictures, do video, whatever, of what's there to be able to demonstrate quickly and definitively to your claims adjuster what your loss was. And bring with you when you evacuate your policies and your contact information for your agent. Those are the three things. And finally, and of course, first and foremost, heed evacuation warnings. Protect the lives of yourself, your loved ones, and even your pets.
Thank you, Jim Donilon. Always good to see you.
And, thank you, Jim.
Man looks fabulous as he approaches a significant birthday.
Indeed.
Come December.
I have now been on this earth for 7 decades and looking forward to some more.
Well, I'm sure those decades will come. You've got a long lifespan in your family, I know. So,
thank you, sir.
Keep on going. And we're joined now by Gus Weil, the well-known political consultant who's been in his game for a very long time. And we lost John McGinnis a few days ago at the age of 66. And John's first book, which may have been his best, and he wrote a couple of very good ones in Cross to Bear and The Last Hayride, but his first book was about the 1983 political season in which David Treen lost the governorship to Edwin Edwards. And Gus Weil was working for Governor Treen at that time. And I was thinking, Gus, in 1983, you were 50, McGinnis was 35, and I was 25. And that seems like a not so long ago time, but it has been 31 years.
And I knew what Mr. Donlin's, Commissioner Donlin's uncle, Tom Donlin, who was a great public official in Orleans Parish, or Jefferson, and he was a fine man. And Donlin appears to be unique, this Donlin, in that he's one of the rare insurance commissioners not to have been indicted.
Well, until Robert Woolley, who served briefly, three in a row had gone to the slammer, and Sherman right. Bernard, Doug Green, and Jim Brown for 6 months.
Is Green still in the penitentiary?
No, he finally got out. He did get a 25-year sentence. Oh,
that's
my
long
goodness.
Enough. And
that's a long time to be in a lockup. But Gus, I wanted to get your take on John McGinnis.
Well, McGinnis was a unique individual. He was a man very much at peace with himself and the world that he inhabited. Unlike many members of the media, he wasn't envious or angry. You know, the media is in a peculiar position. They're on the periphery of all the action. They're on the sidelines, reporting the doings, goings, and comings, and not sharing in them. So it's a kind of a secondary thrill, like secondary smoke. And most of them, it creates a certain amount of anger or envy. And McGinnis never had that.
No, he didn't. He didn't. But then again, what's wrong with envy and anger?
Oh, I don't know. Nothing particularly. We're just talking about the accoutrements of one man, of McGinnis. He was a very gentle man, a very scholarly man. He didn't. He did research. He was kind of like you, Jim. He knew what he was talking about when he talked about it. And you could depend on him for fairness, even when he was taking you apart, which he sometimes journalistically had to.
297-5633 for Gus Weil, and we'll talk with him about a few things, but this week has been overshadowed by the passing of John McGinnis. And for those who have not read The Last Hayride, about the 83 campaign in which Gus Weil was running David Treen's ill-fated effort for re-election against Edwin Edwards right at the height of Governor Edwards' popularity. Last Hayride is a definitive and must read for anyone who cares about Louisiana politics. Now, McGinnis, his career began professionally right as Edwards was taking office in his first term in 72, and then he leaves the earth as Edwin Edwards at the age of almost 87 is vying to be a U.S. Congressman, Gus.
I saw him the other day. He didn't see me at a local restaurant in Baton Rouge, and he looks remarkable. I mean, he doesn't look like an 87-year-old man. He looks like a man, perhaps 70, but he's in remarkable shape. He's trim, seems very alert and happy. So he'll give an interesting picture of himself in the days ahead.
Yeah, and he has a beautiful 35-year-old bride at his side.
I haven't had the pleasure of meeting her, but I've seen her picture, and it certainly is true.
Yeah, and I'll relay something. I don't, since it involves me, I don't think I'm giving away any privileged information, but Trina, his beautiful bride, recently said to me she knew a lady she thought I might have an interest in, and I said, well, tell me about her, and she said, it's my mother.
Oh, my goodness.
And I thought, I could end up being Edwin Edwards' father-in-law.
You know, that's not the worst thing that could happen to you, my goodness. Think of the coupillons and the hog and cheese and the boudin that people would bring to you. It'd be wonderful.
297-5633 for Gus Weil. Hugh at LSU, calling in Oklahoma City. Hi, Hugh, you're on the air with Gus.
How you doing, Gus?
Fine, my friend.
I'm up here now in Oklahoma City, but I still have a home in Baton Rouge, and I'm going down there in a few weeks. So tell the people to watch out. Listen, I have a question for you. Now, this is a political question.
Yes, sir.
You've got Paul Dietzel Jr. apparently running against Edwin Edwards for Cassidy's seat. Is that right?
That's right.
My understanding.
Yes.
Okay. Now, next part is Cassidy then is running against Landrieu. Is that right?
That is correct.
Right? Is that right?
Where are we going with this, Hugh?
Here's where we're going. When Mary Landrieu wins, are we rid of Cassidy?
All right. I'm not sure that's a foregone conclusion, as Hugh seems to think it is.
I think she will win, incidentally.
You do?
Yes, I do. I predict a victory.
And why?
I just think that she's been about as good as we could get right now. And she also is not angry at anybody and has a distinguished background. Her father was a great mayor of New Orleans, Moon Landrieu. Her brother is the mayor, present mayor. And I just think she's been a pretty good senator and obviously respected by the fellow senators.
But you have gone on and on in previous visits, Gus, about how Louisiana has changed, and it certainly is a red state, and Bill Cassidy could ride the red tide.
I hope not. I tell you what, I want to give you a scenario, if you have a moment. This is an optimum scenario of what might save our state, which God knows needs saving. I would like the legislature, this will never happen, so everybody can relax. I would like the legislature to call on Governor Jindal to either be a full-time governor or to resign. You can't do both in a state with so many problems. For example, I saw in the Morning Advocate a couple of weeks ago, Louisiana is second to last in how it handles its senior citizens. That's shocking. Only Mississippi was worse than us. Now, that comes directly under the governor's office, the life style, the life, what word am I looking for, Jim?
Of
our senior citizens. And our governor.
Quality of life?
Yeah. And our governor, he can't solve those things going to Iowa. Iowa got their own problems. He needs to stay here. Earn his salary and live in that gorgeous mansion. You see, what makes it bad is Louisiana has such a unique form of government. We have that Napoleonic code which makes our governor almost deity-like. Mm-hmm. And when he neglects this state, which needs such full-time attention, and doesn't give it, he's solving national, international problems. There's something wrong about that. Now, will the legislature call on him to resign? No. The legislature can't handle its own business. I saw recently that a bill came up to cut out these payday loan companies that give people loans on payday for huge, huge interest rates. It never got out of committee. The bill died right there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I read recently that five states in the United States do not have governor's mansions, and one of those is California. And Jerry Brown and Arnold Schwarzenegger both have chosen to live in hotels in Sacramento, paid for by their campaign contributors. So why don't we do something like that in Louisiana, since we're selling state office buildings?
Yeah. The Pope also lives in modest surroundings and not in the papal palace that he could live in. He's a great man.
The Pope? Yeah, well, go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to say that Louisiana couldn't have a governor without a governor's mansion. No, no. And all the accoutrements. We need a celebrity in our state, and our governor is that celebrity. He's somebody. New York has dozens of celebrities. California has dozens of celebrities. Louisiana has the governor.
Well, the governor would probably gain a lot of good national attention if he moved his family to let's say, to a Motel 6 and sold the mansion for $20 or $30 million and used that for higher education. Wouldn't that be a good thing?
I think you should bring that to the attention of the legislature, because I think they're desperate for such a measure.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace, you're on the air with Gus Weil. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Gus. I need to go a step further and ask the whole legislature to resign. I mean, this is one of the most ridiculous sessions I've ever witnessed. You had the rubber chicken bill, the rubber chicken, I guess they were the boxing gloves, and then the legislators voted themselves the right to carry guns, and they may be needing to because it looks like they're all working for the oil companies. I mean, shot down that lawsuit, and that seems to be the biggest thing they wanted to do, and they did that.
If the legislature left office for a year or even 2 years, a tremendous amount of money would be saved, and I don't believe that anything would be hurt in Louisiana that affected our daily lives. Well, in other words, I guess you would have the status quo where big interest, big oil, big business, their lives would go on uninterrupted, and the little man, the common man, the poor man, nothing much would change for him. He's left out of the theorem anyway.
The Louisiana House yesterday rejected a lawsuit filed against 97 oil and gas companies by the New Orleans Levy Board, headed by John Berry. The House approved legislation to retroactively kill the litigation, which claims the companies caused environmental damage to the state's wetlands. The vote was 59 to 39. I don't think any Republicans voted with the 39 to keep the lawsuit active. So the oil and gas companies, General Honoré, who hopefully we'll have back on the show soon, says, as Foster Campbell once did, that we ought to fly the flags of the oil and gas giants above the Capitol because they own it. Gus Weil, what do you think?
They have owned it for generations. Probably the first man that halfway attacked them and tried to bring them within a manageable a frame was a Huey Long, and he succeeded to a small extent. And then, after he was elected, he got in the oil business.
He sure did.
The win-or-lose oil company.
His family.
So it's hard not to
well.
Corrupt when you've got that kind of power and money. The tragedy of it is that with all of our natural resources, and Louisiana, I suspect, has more variety of natural resources than any other state in the nation, maybe with the exception of Texas. And we've done less for the ordinary citizen than any state of the nation. Our state, people don't realize it, don't want to talk about it. Our state's really in trouble, bad trouble, on every front. If you put us up against the rest of the nation, we would rank last in almost every endeavor. How did this happen? What happened? How could an entire population turn its head and forget to turn back and look at reality? But we have, and we did.
Well, Buddy Romer spoke to the Rotary Club this week, and he said Louisiana in the past year grew by 0.59%, well below the national average, and that's despite an oil and gas boom in the state. And if these are boom times, and it's a 0.59% increase.
But you find that the boom times do not affect the populace as a whole, and certainly the voiceless populace. It's very hard for them to get any relief, any.
Gus, we got to go, but thank you so much as always. We'll be back Monday. Stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.